This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2165. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, especially the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded November 17th, Antarctica, Bangladesh, Canada, China, Cuba, East Turkestan, International Vacuum, Japan, Kaliningrad, Korea South, Maldives, Mexico, New Zealand, North America, Russia, Spain, Sweden, UK, USA, unidentified, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Here's an easy way to reference the new B-22 shortwave schedules. They're linked from the homepage of worldofradio.com. Just look for B-22 and click on some of those. There are quite a variety of different formats, not including quite yet the FCC, which is always lagging behind with the new seasons. We continue to hear LRA 36 Antarctica, 15475.98, reduced carrier upper sideband via remotes in Argentina for their two weekly broadcasts. Saturday, November 12th, it came on at 14:58, went off a few minutes later, but came back until 16:23. And on Wednesday, November 16th, already on, tuned in at 14:59, and went off at 16:16. They always stop abruptly without a formal sign-off, but when they replay the opening message mentioning the names of the staff, that's a clue that they're about to turn off. Bangladesh and Nan, a three-way clash of Azan stations continues on 4750. Totally unnecessary since there's some other frequencies nearby, not in use anymore. But Manuel Mendez in Spain heard Bangladesh Betar. November 15th, at 1802 to 1824 in Bengali. Ron Howard in California replies, on November 16th, checking from 1215 UT, I found Bangladesh off the air from 4750, and propagation was good, so he was hearing Voice of Indonesia on 4749.95, mixing with CNR1 China and CODAR as well. When Bangladesh is broadcasting, it's very difficult to hear the Voice of Indonesia. With a bit less seasonal noise on the 2 MHz band, we're again hearing the two Canadian Coast Guard frequencies, as few others are still active anymore, 2749 USB and 2598 USB. 2749 is for stations in Nova Scotia and vicinity. However, November 11th at 0725, two of them were on the air at the same time, apparently with a securité, that is, some kind of warning message in English and French. Apparently this was so urgent that they didn't care whether they interfered with each other or not, but rather self-defeating. I hope everyone survived. According to DXInfoCenter.com, on a regular schedule, nothing was supposed to start until 0740 from VCO in Sydney, Nova Scotia. That's the one I was presumably hearing then on November 13th at 0745 with marine weather, while the other frequency was also active, 2598 USB. At that time, it would have been VCP4 in Placentia, Newfoundland. In the NASA flash sheet, Ralph S. W. Perry in Illinois reports on China 6200. Voice of Jinling in Nanjing, heard November 10th with a good signal at 12:35. Usual program of evocative, modern keyboard and acoustic guitar music selections. And Mandarin announcements over the music at 12:40. He says either the Nanjing evening radio audience craves repetition, or else the program director at this station is pretty lazy. I keep hearing the same songs over and over again every time I tune in, Voice of Jinling, during this time frame, between 1230 and 1300, over the past few DX sessions. I ran across both styles of Chinese jamming this week. On 9900, November 12th at 2247, there was a double Chinese echo, which means CNR1 jammers against scheduled Radio Taiwan International. And then November 15th at 1613 on 11590, I was hearing Fire Dragon jamming. I had not run across in quite a while. It was about equal level to Chinese talk, which would have been Radio Free Asia via Tinian. Fire Dragon is that all-instrumental music, mostly percussive. Something's Always Wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. This week we've been treated to the return of a number of spur blobs out of their 13 megahertz transmitters in the mornings before 16 UT, or a little after, originating from 13700, and in the afternoons or evenings from 13740. It would take too long to give all the approximate frequencies I've monitored, but they are at approximately 65 to 70 kilohertz displacements from the original frequency. Sometimes only four of them are audible, other times many more, extending even as far as past the 14 megahertz limit of the 20-meter handband. For example, the ones out of 13740 were heard November 12th at 2235. One of them landed about 13608, extremely distorted, which would have made a fine jammer better than ordinary noise if Radio Marti were still on 13605. These blobs are often somewhat more readable if you can tune them in the narrowband FM mode, when you will also hear a tone about F-sharp. Although missing from 5040, clearing the frequency for a barely audible carrier from Vanuatu, Radio Havana Cuba appeared on the second harmonic of 5040, November 13th at 0756 in Spanish. These sloppy raiders at Bauta must have accidentally tuned up the 5040 transmitter to its second harmonic. On the RHC website of interest, the frequency schedule shows a change of times and frequencies as of 17 November. Except that was 2 years ago, they're still showing the B-20 schedule. On a Michigan de-expedition, Harold Froge reported Radio Republica on WRMI 5010, November 12th at 0442. Strangely enough, there's no mention of Radio Republica on WRMI schedules. However, transmitter 14, aimed south on 5010, is shown on the air at 03 to 06 with something. And on November 16th, I was hearing Radio Republica from well before 0400 until it switched to Brother Scare at 0600. It seems the only topic for 2 or 3 hours was workers' rights, derechos de trabajo, and more of that the following night. And so far, no jamming to be heard. East Turkestan, land of imperialist Chaikom genocide against Uyghurs and other Muslims, November 15th at midnight 41, I had barely audible carriers on a quartet of frequencies. This combination making it 100% certain that they are from PBS Xinjiang in Urumqi, now on their winter channels, for four different language services, Chinese, Uyghur, Kazakh, and Mongolian, respectively on 5060, 4980, 4850, and 4500. International Vacuum and Internet. The schedule for World of Radio on World Radio Network I gave last week proved to be incorrect. I was trying to project when we should be appearing following the previous season's schedules, but now they've given me the correct current schedules. The service for North America is at the same time as a separate service for Asia, Africa, and the Pacific, but these are the World of Radio times in UT. At 0230 Sunday and Monday, 1130 on Sunday, 1700 on Saturday, and 2030 on Saturday. And the European service is daily at 1330, Saturday at 17, Saturday and Sunday at 21 UT. By the way, I'm very grateful for our long-time relationship with WRN, which makes World of Radio available just about worldwide via satellite and certainly Internet. Joe Jacobs says, as of November 6th, NHK World Radio Japan has deleted some of those fill-in English broadcasts on weekends only when Russian or some other language is taking a break. They're 20 minutes long. They had been at 0330, 430, 530, and 1030 UT. Lots of reports from Europe about Radio Russia appearing on 1143 kHz. Evidently, that reactivated transmitter from Kaliningrad Oblast, but it's been quite irregular, so maybe still testing. Meanwhile, paying attention to 1143, some other things have shown up. Zakliangas in Greece and Mount Orito in Finland heard Radio Free Korea. It's a 100 kilowatt transmitter from the south to the north. Last week, we reported that another clandestine from south to North Korea, National Unity Radio, had moved from 7200 to 7250. But they've moved again, says Ron Howard in California, to 5900. Heard on November 12th, coming on at 10:58, and programming from 1100. No jamming yet on the new frequency. And thanks to Hiroki Komatsubara in Japan for alerting him about this. And Ron says also from Hiroyuki Komatsubara about more clandestines from South to North Korea. As of November 14th, when frequencies often change every week, Voice of the People still had not changed. But Echo of Hope, VOH, was on 3985, 4890, 5995, 6255, 6350, and 9105. In Rusty X, they're enjoying delayed QSL responses from KBS World Radio, South Korea. Dmitry Kotuzov in Ryazan says, I received a large envelope from the Russian service of KBS WR. 22 QSL cards in the envelope. 7 for 2020, 8 for 2021, and 7 for this year. Cards with different themes, some old ones, new ones, and some magazines in Russian. It was sent on September 13th. Igor Kolka in Moscow says, these had been delayed in Seoul due to the pandemic and other events since 2020. Victor Varzin said he received 4 envelopes from KBS, containing prizes for a quiz, a phone stand, a bag, postcards, umbrella, decorative scarf. One of the envelopes was also large, but contained 1 Koreana No. 3 magazine for 2021 and 60 QSLs. As we've reported a number of times, the Voice of Martyrs, Korea, has a broadcast from the Maldive Islands at 15 to 1530 UT in English or Jvehe, the local language. However, a while ago, I heard this transmission in Chinese instead. The transmitter site is being kept secret, but now we know why I was hearing Chinese, because at the same half hour, they do have a service in Chinese, also from a secret site, which is supposed to be on 7630. Ron Howard says Hiroyuki Komatsubara and Mao Noritola worked to identify this station, which Ron has now heard at 15 on 7630, and there's another half hour in Chinese on the same frequency at 21 UT. And Takahito Akabayashi in Tokyo says TVOM has a website in Chinese and also on FB, saying that that service started this year on May 1st. Contents included preaching of pastors at underground church in China. We confirmed by secret method that the broadcast was listened to by Chinese people. In the Michigan ARE tip sheet, Bob Tard and Lowell reports a couple of good Mexican medium-wave DX catches on 740 XEQN. Radio Formula in Torreón, Coahuila, heard November 6th coming on at 11:58 UT. And on an 870 XETAR in Huachochi, Chihuahua, La Voz de la Sierra, Tarahumara, also at 12 UT November 6th. XETAR was one of my favorites if I'm ever awake around sunrise anymore, but XEQN 740 has been perpetually off frequency, rumbling against KRMG interference at night. Breaking just a bit for me to mention last week, the new frequency for Radio New Zealand Pacific, replacing the interfered 13730. As of November 11th, it's 13755, all the way from 07 to 13 UT. We may hear it somewhat, but unfortunately it's a bit too high to propagate reliably to North America overnight. The entire 6 hours are aimed toward the Pacific, but there's a split antenna usage after 09 UT, also to the Northwest Pacific, Monday through Friday. Most North American pirates are, of course, just below 7 MHz, but some of them venture far beyond. In the Nashville flash sheet, Mark Taylor in Wisconsin reports hearing Radio 48 via Mixed Radio International, November 12th at 22:35, changing from 12060 to 12070 to 12080 to 12085, USB, a wild show, mixed IDs from Radio Free Whatever, and MRI, altered to Radio 48 IDs. They were still going at 2325, fun pirate radio, with a good to very good signal. Via international vacuum, internet, AM, FM, and shortwave, World of Radio 2165, a non-commercial service, like our website, worldofradio.com. Voluntary financial support, always welcome. Not necessarily in U.S. funds, via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Or by money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. VRSDX, here's a rough translation of a November 5th message from Yevgeny Shadin of Radio 5 Angles, or Piach Uglov. They never seem to translate it as Pentagon. Anyhow, he says, a lot of time is spent on other projects, which take a large amount of time and effort. It was not an easy decision, but I think it's better to leave in time and leave the best memories associated with Five Angle Radio. Thanks to everyone who was with us, wrote letters, sent reception reports, and words of support. I appreciate it very much. That's the Russian pirate that used to be heard at least in Europe on 3940. And RealDX reports of an off-frequency European station on 1056 kHz from Karl Hunzik in Czechia, heard November 11th, before midnight. And Mauricio Molano in Spain says he has it on 1055.9971. Jorge Garzon says it's in the COPE network in Castellón, Spain, nominal 1053 but drifting a faulty transmitter. From elradioescucha.net, November 13th, news of a new program from Radio Igloo, which is Sweden non, November 19th and 20th, in co-production with the West Coast DX Club in Göteborg, sponsored by Texas Radio Shortwave, including DX info from the DX Club and about the Swedish DX Federation, in English, mixed with lots of music performed by Swedish artists. Correct reports, with an attached audio clip preferably, and comments about the content of the program will be verified with their new QSL card. Here is the schedule. Saturday, November 19th at 18 to 19 on Channel 292 Germany, 3955. Sunday, November 20th at 02 to 03 from WRMI, 5950. And then at 12 to 13 WRMI on 15770. Since BBC World Service abandoned its North American shortwave listeners years ago, we must take whatever we can get. I'm run across a couple of hours with more or less sufficient reception. 22 to 23 UT on 7520, which is transmitted westward from the Philippines. And at 06 to 07 UT via Saint Thomas on 7285 to the north-northwest, so somewhat favorable for us. Both relayed by U.S. government transmitters. The recent 100th anniversary of BBC has led to lots of stories about it in the press, not only in the UK, but abroad, and some programmings as well. Here's one that I ran across. It's originally from WNYC in New York City. It's part of the series All of It, hosted by Allison Stewart. It aired originally on November 11th. If you search the WNYC.org website on All of It, you should be able to find the audio. Also, Mike Cooper sends a Washington Post story of November 12th. London's Big Ben bongs again after 5-year renovation. A $95 million renovation project began in 2017. The clock mechanism and strikers for the bells, the entire mechanism weighs 25 kilopounds, were removed and taken to the Cumbria Clock Company, clock specialists in England's Lake District, where more than 1,000 separate parts were cleaned and repaired. Richard Langley says the newscast at the top of the hour during VOA English broadcasts have typically been by remote with the usual hum and poor fidelity. But while listening to the VOA Global Stream Internet broadcast November 13th at 13 UT, just before Jazz from the Heart of America, the news was not via remote, and the quality of the audio was much improved. Dan Robinson sends a story from, of all places, the Washington Post about another scandal at the Voice of America. It appeared November 15th by Paul Farhi. VOA removes story that embarrassed Vietnam's prime minister, a story about undiplomatic comments by Vietnamese Prime Minister Pham Minh Chinh, caught on a hot mic, went viral before the U.S.-funded news agency removed it following complaints from his embassy. In unguarded comments picked up by a live State Department video stream, the delegation proudly discussed its resistance to American demands for a statement condemning Russia's invasion of Ukraine. One official said, amid laughter, "We made them back off." Perhaps most shockingly, the Prime Minister used crude language to describe an earlier meeting with President Biden and other U.S. officials at a White House dinner. VOA offered no public explanation of what had happened to the story and why it was suddenly unavailable on its website, Facebook page, and YouTube channel. One frustrated employee described it as a betrayal of the organization's values and mission. Our slogan is, "A free press matters." On Friday, November 11th, this message from Jeff White of WRMI. I'm happy to report that Hurricane Nicole did only some minor damage at the transmitter site in Okeechobee, and all of our frequencies are back on the air on their normal schedule. We signed off early last night for the safety of our equipment and staff, but we had no power or internet outages and everything was working again this morning. Now, following up last week's breaking news about the close down of WTWW and Ted Randall, was it an exaggeration to call Scriptures for America the owner of WTWW? Wikipedia goes into its history, including the latest developments, and it says, programming from SFA Broadcast Network, part of a long-term leasing agreement that continued throughout WTWW's existence. And it also says that the owner of the station is or was Ted Randall and Holly Mislin of Leap of Faith, Inc. But then George McClintock told me personally, I am president of Leap of Faith owner. And he's also listed as such in last year's World Radio TV Handbook, with Ted Randall as merely an engineer on the staff. Then on November 14th, I see that the WTWW.us homepage now says, if you loved us on 5085, we are moving. And Jeff White soon confirms, we are in negotiations to transmit some of the former programming of WTWW on one or more WRMI frequencies, but no schedule yet. Verbal within the hour, Dave Zanto, listening to the audio feed of transmitter number 2, said Ted Randall was already talking about WRMI. Then a few hours later, on early UT November 15th, I talked with George McClintock on the phone, explaining what's going on. These are from my notes reflecting his point of view. He says Ted Randall is definitely out of the picture. He does not and never has had any ownership in Leap of Faith, despite the entry as such in Wikipedia. Ted can do whatever he wants elsewhere, but he can't call it WTWW. George is on the books as head of Leap of Faith, but in effect had sold his interest to Scriptures for America, the de facto owner. George has been to the transmitter site and finds it quite in disarray. Both transmitters had been operated with their doors open, which is a no-no, perhaps accounting for splatter. Neither would work until he fiddled with them, finally got them on for brief low-power 5-kilowatt tests. The cooling water was dirty. About half the modulation cards were missing from each transmitter, and tuning to the 9 megahertz band had been done incorrectly. George plans to get WTWW back on the air with Scriptures for America on one transmitter and a variety of other preachers on the other transmitter, but no music. November 15th, WRMI Legends appears in scattered areas of the WRMI program schedule, Ted Randall stuff. And I heard the first hour of this at 22 UT on 9395. Also scheduled at 23 on 5950 and 9455, and several more hours later until 04, but not yet confirmed. That first broadcast also reported by Bob Butterfield in Maryland. He says they were announcing a new website, WRMILegends.com, but it linked to the old WTWW.us for now. Alan Rowe in the UK confirms that as of November 16th UT, they were not yet on the air after 0100. Very short notice, too late for this week and this month. Unless hot off the press, you're hearing World of Radio by webcast or the first airing on WRMI. But Uncle Bill Tilford says there's a new program on Radio Angela WBCQ 5130. UT Friday, November 18th, at 0400 to 0500, Hobby Radio Broadcasting, a new monthly by Andrew Yoder, a respected authority on hobby radio. I guess that's a euphemism for pirate. Some of the DRM broadcasts from WINB have flipped. November 11th at 16:17, I was hearing the DRM noise on the lower half, 15750 to 15755, while the other secret beepery was on the upper half, 15755 to 15760. The question is, why? What difference does it make? Via Kevin Redding, ABDX, a story from RBR.com, November 13th. From fans to industry leaders, talk host Jim Bohannon is mourned. On October 14th, his final program aired, health reasons cited, as the host's decision to retire. He was not well. On November 12th, it became known that he had passed away at the age of 78. Cause of death, cancer. His obituary goes through his career and now says NAB President and CEO Curtis Legait issued a statement, "Our industry has lost a legend in the passing of Jim Bohannon, who embodied the spirit of broadcasting. His charismatic nature, distinct style, and engaging programs have left an enduring mark on radio and the generations of audiences whose lives he touched." This refers to another story in the Washington Examiner, who headlined him as conservative. However, to me, he always seemed to be fair and middle of the road, certainly no flamethrower. Via Mike Sanborn, IRCA, a story from STL Today, KFUO 850 is moving to 1380. The Lutheran radio station will soon have a nighttime signal in the St. Louis area. Dated November 7th by Joe Holloman. Thanks to a recent proposed purchase submitted to the FCC, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod have applied for permission to buy KXFN 1380 for $570 kilodollars from Relevant Radio. KFUO is now forced to turn off its 850 signal around sunset each day. Actually, that's not correct. It's sunset in Denver, but that's not good enough. And it's unknown if something else will replace it in St. Louis on 850, and by this story at least, there is no date about the shutoff or change to 1380. Here's an unID mystery from Ron Howard in California on 6300 USB. He's been hearing reciting from the Quran. October 29th from 0711 until off at 0730, and November 10th from 703 to off at 716. Mike Cooper sends along a story from the New York Times you might want to look up, November 14th. Time is running out for the leap second. Is it a kludge, a bane, a pain in the little hand? The world's timekeepers are proposing to ditch it. Will our days ever be the same? Today, the endeavor is a technical nightmare because precise timing has become integral to society's highly computerized infrastructure. The world's time mavens are making a bold proposal to abandon the leap second by 2035. Civilization would wholly embrace atomic time. Speaking of horology, there have also been some excellent stories making the case for permanent standard time, not daylight time. Available in or linked from the World of Radio IO Group. A propagation outlook from SWPC issued November 14th. Geomagnetic field expected to reach unsettled to active levels on these dates with A and K indices peaking at 18 and 4, November 21st, 22nd, 26th, and December 2nd. Solar flux 105 through November 21st, and then ascending to a peak of 135 starting November 30th. If you're hearing this in time, FMDXers should be aware that the Leonid meteor shower is peaking the night of November 17th into 18th. And that's World of Radio 2165. Say, why not send a thank you to this station for broadcasting our program? And thanks also to our multitude of sources. Glenn Hauser inviting you to hear me again next week with a standard disclaimer.